So let's turn to God's word, which says this: we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This morning we're going to be thinking about what it means to be a believer, what it means to walk the talk, to do the things that God demands of us, commands of us, asks of us. And one of the great problems for all of us is that we're all hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. You know, I'm not going to church because it's full of hypocrites. The answer to that is always, of course, you know this. No, it's not. There's always room for one more. Why don't you come and join us? But it's an allegation that's launched against us. You're all hypocrites. Well, we are all hypocrites. We all get it wrong. And John reminds us of that. We keep, those who follow Jesus keep his commandments. We claim to know God. And if we claim to know God, then we will do what he tells us to do. And it's one of the big giveaways that when we fail to do that, that we are not really knowing God. Yeah, knowing God is a daily thing, isn't it? We can know about God, we can know of God, but knowing him is being in relationship with him. If we know people, then we remain in contact with them, or we try to maintain relationship with them. Day by day. That's all the more difficult given what we're going through right now. We can become lazy about that, stop being in contact with those that we love and maybe those that need to know human contact and human care. We need to make greater efforts, perhaps, when things are the way they are, when we're not able to see people. Same is true of us with God. If we claim to know him, we need to be in relationship with him. And the key here, I've got three letters this morning, three words with three letters to help us remember what it is that I'm saying. The key thing this morning is this word, obedience. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. Obedience is a key word. We are called to be people who obey God. Now, this is a tricky thing. I've been wrestling with it over the last few weeks. Many of you will know that there was a letter that was sent to the Scottish government, 200 Scottish leaders joined by 300 other leaders, church leaders from down south and indeed around the world, signed a letter to the First Minister asking that places of worship should be treated differently from other places because worship is really important and it's our right to be able to worship. And I signed that letter. I signed it because I felt it was the right thing at the time. But over the last few weeks, my mind has changed on this. Though I would love us to be meeting in person, I have come to believe that the variants in particular of the virus are much more virulent. They are much more infectious. And I've heard a number of stories of people who have picked up the virus with minimal, if any, contact with other people. And have got ill as a result of this. And we know that there are so many people struggling with the consequences of lockdown, people whose businesses are closed, people who are unable to visit other people that they love and they care about. People's rights have been to meet with other people have been removed from them in the interest of safety. And I don't believe for a minute that governments would do that if they did not believe there was real cause or real danger to life. So when some of my friends and colleagues this week sent another letter to the government saying that we're going to take legal action because we believe that it's illegal what you're doing by closing down places of worship, and they have a deadline, they've put a deadline of 5 p.m. on Thursday to respond, otherwise a legal action will be launched, I began to become a little bit incredulous, really, that this was happening. And it's partly because of what we're going to be thinking. We're called to be people who obey the Lord. We're called to be a people who obey the Lord, who care for one another and care for those around us. And one of the great problems in our culture at the moment is the idea of exceptionalism, that I am exceptional. These rules are okay for other people, but they don't apply to me. We see it when we see groups of people meeting together who shouldn't be meeting together according to the rules. We see it in governments, in the way that leaders of nations behave. We see it in the way that nations themselves behave, that they think they're somehow God's gift and are different from other parts of the world. Exceptionalism is such a problem. And the church, we can think of ourselves in that way as well, that we can be proud. We've been called, we are chosen by God. And yet, we are called to be people who are humble. As Jesus was humble, did Jesus rail and get angry at what was happening around him? Of course he did. He got furious by the injustice that he saw in the world. But Jesus was humble. And Jesus calls us to be a humble people. And one of the things that really occurs to me this week is that sometimes we give up our rights. We're called to give up our rights for the benefit of others. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul's talking about his rights as an apostle. He's got all the rights in the world, but he gives them up for the sake of others. He doesn't lord it over other people and say, I have my rights, I'm an apostle, look at me. When someone does that, I heard of a bishop recently who have publicly said, I am the bishop and you will obey me. Anyone who's in leadership who says, I am the leader and you must obey me, that is when they have lost it. We are called to be people who are humble and who give up our rights. And Paul said this, but we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. So today, I don't want to be an agent of the government. I don't want to do their work for them. But I want to suggest this. Part of our obedience to the Lord is obeying the rules that are around us, however difficult they are. But can you imagine what the damage to the gospel we would do if we said, we're going to open up our church and those of you who want to come, come. Those who are shielding, you stay at home, don't come. But those who want to come, who come. And then we get an outbreak. We get people falling sick. How am I going to feel about that? How are you going to feel about that? How's the church going to appear to other people? And how's it going to appear in the media? It would be madness for us to run that risk of doing that. And so the Lord does call us to obey the powers that be in this world. We're called to do that, so long as they do not stop us doing what God wants us to be doing, to worship him. And the reality is we're still able to worship him. We're able to do that online. I realise that some people don't have the ability to do that, but you know, if we need to help people, if you know of people who have no online facility, we will do that. We've been doing that over the last few months. We've helped a few people get online, and we want to equip people to do that for this time, not just so that they can worship, but also so that they can connect with other people. Part of our obedience then is to obey what the government is saying, but also to continue to obey the Lord. We are to meet, we are to worship. So come and join in on our worship. It's such a thrill that so many of us are able to gather on a Sunday. Afterwards, we'll meet for fellowship in the Zoom room. If you've never tried it, come and join in. The details will come up at the end. We're able to fellowship with one another. Okay, we can't do it physically. We can't do it physically, but we can do it virtually. We can do it digitally. We can connect with one another and be in relationship with one another. We can pick up the phone and we can worship. We can worship online. And we probably have more reach now than we have ever had before. So let's be a people who obey what the Lord says. Now, obviously, obedience in that area is just one example of it. I wonder what you need to be obedient in today. Let's move on. The second section of this passage is this. It says this. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. And so the second O is this. Sorry, let me read this next section. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. And here's the second O. It's an O and an N. So we had obedience. We're called to be people who obey what the Lord has said, but we're also called to recognise the old and the new commandment. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3 verse 11. It's an echo of what John writes in the Gospel of John chapter 14. Where it says this, Jesus' words himself says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So this is an old command, it was something that Jesus had said, but it's a new command as well, and it's new every day. And it's also an old command because it's what we experience when we come to faith in Christ. He calls us to be a people who are full of love. We are called to be a people who are full of love. And he uses this brilliant illustration, doesn't he? If you there's no middle ground between love and hate. There's no middle ground. There can be no middle ground. We are not allowed to hate a brother or sister. If we do, we're still living in darkness. And it's very easy for us to get into that place. One of the difficulties for us as followers of Jesus is that sometimes we have an idealized view of what church should be like. And, you know, as a church leader, as a minister, over the years, I've just found it so painful and so difficult. Sometimes people have fallen out with me, or they dislike some decision that I've made, or I haven't done something that they really wanted me to do. And a lot of ministers experience a lot of hurt. It is such a difficult place to be. And I know where some ministers, some church leaders begin to hate people that they are called to serve because of the hurt that is done to them. And it's a source of some shame for the church that we find ourselves in that situation. So as a church leader, I need to guard my heart and my head from being in that place of hate, because it stops me being the person that the Lord wants it to be, the people that he wants us to be a people who are loving. See, the darkness is always seeking ways to encroach into the light, to creep in to the place of light. And of course, darkness wants to be light. If it can appear to be light, it will try to do that. And sometimes we are unaware of the fading of the light in our lives and the light of the church. And we allow the darkness to consume us and take over. How many believers have you come to know whose hearts are full of darkness because of some unforgiveness in the past? Something has happened to them that they have never been able to let go of. And they keep sniping and keep making life difficult for the people around them. I have to say that the number of people that I've known in that situation has been way too many, way too many. And of course, they bring that darkness into the life of the church. And we're called to be a people who love. We're called to be, we'll think a bit more about this when we get into the third chapter of 1 John, but we're called to continue to be that people that love, that go beyond, that go the extra mile. So what do you need to do today? First of all, to deal with any hatred that you have. Is there anyone that you are hating today that you need to get over and forgive? Maybe go to them and say, you know, I've got this wrong. Please forgive me. Who is that? You won't be able to physically go and visit them, but maybe you can reach out to them in some way. Who is it that you need to show love to today? Who you know needs to know the love of God? Who can you reach out today to do that? Let's just pause for a moment. We're going to pray together just about that very thing. I sense that there are some people who've got a little bit of hate in their hearts. The darkness has grown a bit too great in your life. Let's spend a moment in prayer and ask the Lord's forgiveness. Father, pray for any of my friends who are watching this, listening to this today, who need to know your forgiveness, who need to let go of the hate and come into the light. We thank you this morning. You've been bringing that hate into the light. And so I pray that you would offer forgiveness now and a new beginning, that people would be able to let go of the pain and the hatred that they've experienced, and that you might fill them with your love and your light and your life. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're called to be a people who obey. We're called to be a people who follow the old and the new commandment to love one another. And then notice this, we're called to be people who, well, the third thing's coming up. When I read this, let me read this first. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know what they're going, because the darkness has blinded them. The darkness has blinded them. So the third word is this. We are to be people who overcome. We're to be people who obey. We're people who follow the old and the new commandment to love one another, and we're people who overcome. You see, John is telling people that you can be in big trouble if you allow hatred to overcome you, to take over you. If you love those around you, you're living in the light. Nothing can make you trip or fall. If you hate, you're living in darkness and you're going to stumble around. You don't know where you're going. It's like walking into a dark room at night. Sometimes I go to bed at night and I stay up a bit later than my lovely wife, and the lights are off, and my eyesight isn't what it used to be. And I stumble around in the darkness trying to find out where the bed is, trying not to wake up my lovely wife. Well, when we're caught up in darkness, that's exactly what we're like. We stumble around and we trip up, and we cause other people to trip up as well. We are stumbling around when we live in the darkness, but we're called to be people who live in the light, and we're called to be people who overcome. And there's no in between in this. We're to have victory. We're to walk in the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross. Remember in Mark chapter 3, and Jesus is healing the man with the withered hand, and the scribes, the Pharisees, they get terribly upset by this, because it's a Sabbath and you're not supposed to do this stuff on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do good things like that, because it's regarded as being work. And in verse 4, chapter 3 of Mark, he says, Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. And the point is this, Jesus is radical. He is radical. He enables us to do the utmost good, to live a life that is full of goodness. We don't generate that in ourselves. You can't will ourselves to do it. But if we're walking as Jesus would have us walk, we will do good things. It is so frustrating at the moment. It's so hard to do that. If you know someone who's sick or ill or dying, the natural good thing that you want to do right now is to be with them and to do what you can to help them. And we are so, so frustrated because we can't do it. We can't do it. But what we can do is to be all out for the goodness that the Lord plants in us and creates in us. See, Jesus is a wee bit extreme when it comes to this. He wants us to do the good thing, the best thing, the right thing, the thing that is better. That is his focus for us. So what do you need to do today to overcome the darkness that's around us? What can you do to help others? What can you do to bring encouragement? What can you do to be loving? You see, we are called to be overcoming, and we get that in the last section of this passage. Notice what it says, and I would like us to say these verses together if we're able to read them. We're going to say these last section of these of this passage together. So let's say together, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Did you notice this? The same thing is said twice. You have overcome the evil one. There is one at work who wants to undermine the work of God in us, the evil one, the devil, Satan. And John reminds those who are hearing these words, reading these words, that we have overcome the evil one, not because we are able to do that we have some superpower that enables us to do that. We've overcome the evil one because of what Jesus has done. See, it begins with, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. The focus is on Jesus. It's Jesus that has provided that forgiveness, that freshness, that new beginning, filling us with light and life and love, and enable us to overcome the evil one. So we are living in dark days. There is no doubt about that. But a day is coming when those dark days will come to an end and the light will come flooding in. But we live in the reality of that now. Whatever we are facing, whatever we are experiencing, we have overcome the evil one because of what Jesus has done. And we know the Father. So whether we're a young man or an old man, a young woman or an old woman, a young person or a very old person, we are all recipients of the grace of God. And we all experience the strength that he gives us. I'm very conscious many of us today are feeling weak, much weaker than the last time we had a major lockdown back in the spring. We see little signs of how weak people are feeling and how frustrated people are when we look at one another's eyes when we see them in the street. Or even the clapping for heroes, the response to that has been so minimal. People are tired and we're not immune from that. But we have strength. We gain strength as we look to the Lord. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. My prayer today, as we've studied this passage, we've listened to this passage, that we might receive greater strength and greater encouragement, not from my words, not from us meeting together like this, but from the word of God itself and our focus on the person of Jesus. So will you do that today in the midst of everything that's going on, the pain and the suffering and the struggle? Will you join with me and lift your eyes to the Lord, who gives us strength, who helps us to obey him, who helps us to follow the old and new commandment to love one another, and who helps us overcome the darkness, the evil one? May God strengthen you and help you today in all these different ways.